Now joining the program, Matthew Collar of PurpleInsider.com. You can check him out on Twitter or the good old X.com at Matthew Collar. Also the author of the novel, Football is a Numbers Game. Collar, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. You've been there at training camp since it opened. Today is yesterday, is the first day they actually use pads. But overall, what's the sense of attitude like? Is it like a new awakening here? Is it a new era? Does it feel exciting just to be there?
Yeah, there's been kind of an odd feeling because you start training camp with Kyrie Jackson's death and the team dealing with that. And then Mekhi Blackmon, a player that they were very excited about, drafted last year, had a good rookie season, was looking to become a key part of their cornerback room, tears his ACL on the first day. And that makes it very difficult for people to talk about how exciting the new era of Minnesota Vikings football is. Just, you're talking about your head coach going to a funeral and missing a day because of that. And that's something that nobody has much of a playbook for and doesn't really know how to deal with. And I think that the players have remained very positive in their attitude toward the start of training camp, and they're excited to be back, and they're excited to see really a new roster that is completely turned over from a couple of years ago start to come together, and at the same time also grieving the loss of a teammate. And that's a huge challenge for them. But as far as just the things that have gone on the field, it's been really interesting to see different quarterbacks for the last six training camps. It's been Kirk Cousins, and for about five of them, there wasn't a whole lot of intrigue at the quarterback position. It was just, you know, there's Kirk Cousins again, you know, doing his thing, which is also a compliment to him, you know, because he ran practices smoothly and we knew what to expect and all that. But now you have Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy. Darnold has taken all the first team reps. He's had some exciting moments. He's also had maybe one practice where you thought, okay, I could see a little bit of, you know, maybe some of the issues there with Sam Darnold when it comes to getting the ball out, which has been a trouble for him throughout his career, taking sacks, throwing interceptions and things like that. And then there's the daily J.J. McCarthy watch, where on Saturday he had an excellent practice. I thought he's looked more in command of the offense than I expected based on what we saw from minicamp, but he clearly put in the work in the time between minicamp and the start of the season, didn't take any vacation, worked out with Adam Thielen to try to lock in some of the concepts that Kevin O'Connell uses. And you can see why they wanted to buy into him as a first-round draft pick, because they weren't just banking on, okay, he's got a really good arm and he won a lot of games. They're also banking on the work ethic that it's going to take to be here. And I think when you see some of the throws that J.J. McCarthy is capable of, the velocity on the football and the way that he has galvanized the team around him already, you can see players really relate to him. They gravitate toward him. Like, all those things in a normal training camp, if the Kyrie Jackson tragedy had not happened, I think we'd be talking about what an exciting time this is, but it's just been a little bit different because of that.
Do you think there's been a sense or a shift, I guess, in J.J. McCarthy versus Sam Darnold? Like, to me, and I said this on the show yesterday, it's almost felt like originally there was no shot J.J. McCarthy would be starting week one, but now maybe you could convince me that KOC might roll with this guy week one. What are your opinions on the prospect of J.J. McCarthy winning this job before the season starts?
I think that we are really far away from that decision being made, or J.J. McCarthy forcing that decision, because we have seen four practices and none of them have had pads yet.
I mean, yeah, but it's fun to talk about regardless, Matthew. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, when you get fans in the stands, you get fan videos, so, you know, somebody makes a good throw and then all of a sudden we're talking about it. But he hasn't taken a single first team rep yet.
Okay.
So we can't go crazy. I mean, but I think that it's like baby steps here. It's in order to get to the point where he could play, they've told us the truth the whole way along, that J.J. McCarthy is obviously the franchise quarterback in their mind. That's what they want. That's the outcome they're aiming for. But they are very comfortable with the idea of Sam Darnold playing, which means that they can ask J.J. McCarthy to check off all the boxes in order to be ready to start, which means he has to be in complete control of the offense. He's got to have the footwork down, the accuracy, which is all tied to the rhythm and timing of the offense. And he has to feel confident in there running full speed reps with pads against opponents. And where we're really going to start to get a sense of this is when they go to Cleveland August 14th and 15th and they have joint practice there. That is arguably the best defense in the entire NFL. And if J.J. McCarthy can get first-team reps against that defense and look good, then he has a chance. But I also think that Kevin O'Connell is completely fine with saying Sam Darnold's going to start and we're not going to push J.J. McCarthy just because we're excited about him. And I am 100% in favor of that approach. Don't get too excited about some camp throws and then toss the guy in there before he's ready. Why not have him take weeks behind Sam Darnold to learn what it takes to prepare for an NFL game on a weekly basis and go through that grind, but not actually have to do it until, you know, he's ready to do it. So I think that yes, because he's looked good, we can start talking about, is it possible that he could win the job? But I still very much think that it's fine to be as patient as they want to be.
Almost like maybe I'm just spending a little too much time on message boards here and I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But to move on to a different position battle, which really unfortunate circumstances, as you mentioned, surrounding this position battle, but it has to do with the secondary and really the cornerbacks. Now, I've seen that Cam Bynum has worked under defensive backs coaches along with other cornerbacks, trying to sort of maybe learn a different position there. And I know he played cornerback in college. I don't know how you feel about Cam Bynum being there, but why don't I ask the question, like, do you think they bring in a Stephon Gilmore and Xavien Howard, or is it a lesser value and you build up with depth rather than all that money you have available going to one cornerback?
Yeah, I think you are going to have to jump off of the message boards. I don't see Cam Bynum being a cornerback. I mean, he's been a safety his entire career. He built his off-season program with his body and so forth to be a safety. And all the safeties are asked to come up and play in the nickel at times. So you're always going to see that. I mean, Josh Metellus plays in the nickel, but actually moving a guy positions, I don't think would be great at this juncture. Especially since he's been very good as a safety.
Right.
But I think the defensive back group in general is, it's so interesting because you have such strong safeties and such weak cornerbacks now that Mekhi Blackmon is hurt. But, you know, you look at the free agent market and you've got probably four or five veteran players, Adoree Jackson, Akilah Witherspoon, Stephon Gilmore, that the Vikings, I'm sure, are having conversations with to see if they want to come to Minnesota, because they'll definitely get an opportunity to play if they do. I don't know what Gilmore's thoughts are. He's 34. He won defensive MVP not that long ago, so he probably wants to go to a team like Kansas City to try to win a championship rather than a team that's a little bit in transition with its roster. But it is a tad unusual to have this many veteran players that are as proven as they are still on the market and maybe not retired.
Right.
But there might be also be a reason for that, right? I mean, Adoree Jackson had a terrible year last year in New York. So are you going to bring him in and have him be no better than whatever other guy like Jalen Williams that you could play? That position ages very poorly. We talk about running backs all the time, but cornerbacks are usually struggling, unless they're great ones, by the end of their 20s and early 30s as well. They have to keep that in mind. Is it worth it, or should they just try to find somebody a little bit on the younger side, maybe an undrafted free agent who's been in some practice squads or whatever? I mean, that's the question that they have to answer. I mean, I think you could bring in a veteran, but we've also seen this before. Rashad Breeland, if you go way back, Tremaine Brock, they brought back Mackenzie Alexander after he had came and went. I mean, you know, a lot of times these guys, you think based on their history, like, oh, 3 years ago, he was a pretty good corner, but time goes fast in the NFL. So I'm not convinced that any of these guys could be true difference makers for the Vikings. But at this point, they just need human beings who play the cornerback position. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach that.
I mean, that you say it perfectly there. Andrew Booth Jr. is a guy who we thought wasn't going to make the roster, and now he's going to have to play like the three, maybe the fourth guy there. I mean, they got to bring in someone, right, Matthew? They got to bring in someone.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Kevin O'Connell said that the other day that, you know, of course, just from a pure numbers perspective, I mean, when they were practicing on Saturday in 90-degree heat with about five corners that were taking all the reps, that's not ideal to have. You know, I was walking by when you walk out of the facility to go back to the media room, there's a cold tub filled, you know, water and ice or whatever. No surprise, I saw Byron Murphy in there. He had taken like every rep. I mean, they need people who can come in and who can rotate in. I guess the question is, you know, I think about Theo Jackson a little bit as a guy that they found off somebody else's practice squad when Lewis Seen got hurt, and he's turned out to be a pretty good player. He was a young guy, former sixth-round pick, and they gave him a shot. He was someone that they identified with their scouting department. And he's turned out to be a good player for them. Is that better that maybe they go look for someone like that rather than trying to sign someone who's 30 years old and has come off a terrible season, right? I mean, that's kind of the question they have to answer.
That's understandable. Now, there's one other position battle, and we're speaking to Matthew Collar, purpleinsider.com here, that is so important in my eyes, and no one else is talking about it. Can you tell me a little bit about John Parker Romo and Will Ricard? The kicking battle, I think, is a very key piece this offseason. What can you tell us about that, Matthew?
I don't think there is a kicking battle. I think it's Will Reichard and Will Reichard only.
Really?
And, I don't think there's any chance John Parker Romo wins this job. Will Reichard is one of the most impressive kickers that I have ever seen in my life. And I'm not even being hyperbolic. I mean, just as having seen many, many kickers in training camp and mini camp practices, Will Reichard is number one as far as the most gifted kicker in front of me. And I think that this is part of Will Reichard's a little bit of a different generation of kids who have had kicking coaches and kicking camps and things like that since he was in sixth grade. And I did a story about this with a guy who runs kicking camps, that Will Reichard was basically a prodigy that showed up as a young kid and was out kicking high schoolers and stuff like that. So this is who he is. But the training and the data and the biomechanics and everything that they can do now as you grow up as a kicker, video analysis and all that, you think about even just what they could do with a golf swing or something and analyze all these golfers down to the tiniest movement or pitchers. Sort of the same thing with kickers, and you really see it with somebody like Will Reichard, that he just has a different look to him. But they drafted him. He was super successful at Alabama, and he's kicking the heck out of the ball. I just don't see any way that he loses that job unless he goes into preseason and completely forgets if he got the yips or something,
right,
and starts shanking every kick. I doubt that's going to happen, since he made 250-yard kicks in the call that? The Final Four of football. What is it called?
College football playoff. There you go.
Yes, college football playoff. Yes. So I think he's pretty set.
Okay. So with that being said, then, what's another one of these sort of position battles? Or not necessarily a position battle, but what's one thing you've noticed that's sort of flying under the radar from players that you've seen, maybe a coach that you've seen, something that not a lot of people are talking about because we're so preoccupied with J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold?
I think it's an interesting development that for now 2 years, Kevin O'Connell has talked about how much he likes Jalen Naylor. And we haven't really seen it because Jalen Naylor was not getting a lot of playing time in 2022 and then was injured last season. But he has brought up Jalen Naylor 25 times since then. So you can tell that the head coach wants to see it. And so far early in camp, and again, four practices, but we have seen it from Jalen Naylor that he has looked terrific. And he's, you know, I think running routes well. He's made a couple of contested catches. He has gotten open and he seems to have some chemistry with J.J. McCarthy. It is early, but that receiver battle, is it going to be Jalen Naylor that actually emerges as someone who could be a key piece for them? And then all the people that wanted them to sign Hunter Renfro or something, who still doesn't have a job, we don't have to worry about that anymore. Or is it going to be more of a battle once the pads come on where, Brandon Powell was proven as a wide receiver last year, more than just a punt returner, but maybe not necessarily a difference maker? at the wide receiver position. And then you just got a group of lots of dudes, Tristan Jackson, Lucky Jackson, Thayer Thomas. There's just humans that are going after that job for, you know, the wide receiver position. And that will be interesting to watch how it develops, because when the pads come on, I believe that's going to be today, things change. It just becomes so much more physical. The wide receivers have to battle with the corners in a much more physical nature. The pass rushers can actually come after the quarterback. Can't hit him, but they can scare him, and they can, you know, pressure him. So things change when the pads come on at practice, and that's, I think, when the camp battles truly begin.
Before I let you go here, Matthew, always appreciate the time. What are your thoughts on Jordan Addison? I don't believe we've had you on here before, or after, I should say, his incident. So what are your opinions on him? Can you see a 3-game suspension? And is there actual weight to the rumor that's going around that the Vikings are so mad at this kid, he might not even be on the team in the next couple of years?
I don't know if that is that a rumor.
That's happening? Charlie Walters said something about that as something that was sort of sort of popped up.
I would say, I mean, it's not exactly a rumor that the Vikings would be very mad at Jordan Addison, right?
Right.
Because after last year with going 140 miles an hour and getting charged with that, and then having a DUI, it's just completely unacceptable. And also it makes you question that person off of the field. I mean, is he somebody that you can even trust during the bye week to come back without doing something, right? And that makes it really difficult when you have a player of his talent level and he does that right after Kyrie Jackson's death. I mean, you talk about pouring salt in the wound, just being so careless and so thoughtless. And also you wonder about, we've seen someone like Henry Ruggs kill somebody. And, you know, you've seen other players and road racing incidents and things like this. Very serious things can happen when you have driving impaired or driving with extreme speeds. And that really makes you question everything that that person does, which is, it's harder to then talk about, oh, well, they've got this great wide receiver duo. Well, we'll see, right? And I wondered about if what I didn't really quite understand was the lack of punishment from the team. Because as far as the suspension goes, you spin the wheel of Roger Goodell's justice. It's very hard to figure out because will they leave it to the legal process in California? That could take 6 months. I mean, we don't know when there's going to be any sort of ruling on that. And I actually don't really expect there to be a suspension anytime soon, because I know those things take a long time. The only chance was if the team did it themselves and imposed some sort of penalty on him. But he was back taking first team reps the first day of training camp, which makes you think that that's not how they're going to do it. They're not going to just, you know, suspend him or take him off the field in any way, and they're going to leave it to the NFL, which I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that there needs to be a stronger message to him from the team and not just say, oh, we're going to leave it up to the NFL. But it's a major concern. It's a major concern going forward for him. When you start talking about, you know, fifth-year options at some point, and are you going to extensions down the road and all those things, and it makes you wonder, well, is he, like you said, is he going to be on the team in a couple of years, or is there going to be too many incidents that start to pile up? Because when it comes to something like this, one is a mistake, two is a trend, and that's not really what you want from somebody that they invested so much in, and truly is a phenomenal wide receiver that has so much talent as a key piece of this. So, I mean, they have to hope that the message gets through to Jordan Addison, whatever message that might be. I'm not sure, because they send one punitively.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see about that. We're running pretty long here, Matthew. Appreciate the time as always. Look forward to having you back on the program. Otherwise, keep having fun there at training camp, and hopefully we talk soon, man.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.